I wanted to go to my tent and kill myself. But I couldn't. We had no tent. We had lost everything. We didn't even have a knife that I could use to slash my miserable throat. A few months ago, my husband and I were the richest people within hundreds of miles. We had more sheep, camels, oxen, and donkeys than we could keep track of. In our world, wealth was measured in livestock, not gold. We were fabulously wealthy. But not just wealthy in livestock, in family. We had three daughters and seven sons. Every family member loved one another. Every family member was healthy. Every family member worshiped God. And then, gone. Everything. Gone.
Job's wife is sometimes criticized for her advice to her husband, her only line in the book of Job. Judgment could be rushed. Should she be criticized or commended for the suggestion that her husband curse God and die?
So, my husband and I lost everything. He continued to faithfully worship God through it all. I admit that I grieved with all my heart. But I followed my husband's example and worshiped God. Well, I tried to worship through my tears and doubts. People that once feared us now jeered at us. People who were jealous of us laughed at our distress and poverty. People who were once our friends abandoned us. There was no way it could get worse. It did. My husband broke out in the most painful sores imaginable, all over his body. I mean, from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. He couldn't stand, he couldn't sit, kneel, lie down, nothing. He couldn't find a comfortable position. He didn't sleep. When he tried to eat or use the bathroom, he screamed in agony and pain. Living torture. The man I loved more than my own life. Suffering. And I wanted him to die so that he could have relief. I begged him to curse God in hopes that God would take his life and take it all away. If God punished him like this when Job was righteous, surely he would kill him when he wasn't righteous. I begged. Begged. No. Job would have none of that. "You're talking foolishly," he said. "Should we just accept the good from God and not trouble?" He still refused to accuse God. He didn't sin in his response. Day after day, he sat in the dust and ashes and scraped his sores with broken pieces of pottery we found on the ground. It seemed to me that the more he scraped, the worse his sores got. But it gave him something to do as he contemplated on what had happened to him. Before I continue the book of Job, let me acknowledge that I mostly drop out of the story from here. It is mentioned an additional time that I'm alive and I'm an important, although unnamed, person at the end of the book. However, what I'm about to tell you about myself is conjecture based on a few clues in the book of Job. As much as Job suffered for what happened to him, I know he suffered more because the same disasters had happened to me. He loved me more than he loved himself. It broke his heart to know that my heart was broken. In spite of all the disasters that had happened, Job and I loved and trusted each other deeply. And together we tried to understand why things had turned out the way they had. We had deep discussions. Well, whenever Job could talk through his pain. Had one of us sinned so badly that God was punishing us? I mean, we were sure that we hadn't, but we also had to admit that we hadn't been righteous enough for God to have previously been so generous with us. Maybe behavior wasn't the basis for how God treated people? But if that wasn't the basis, what was it? We couldn't fathom what it could be. Maybe one of our children had sinned badly. But we couldn't believe God would punish us for someone else's actions, even if it was one of our children. In the end, we were baffled. We realized we didn't have nearly enough information about God to understand what was going on. And we had no idea how to get more information about him. We so wished we could talk to God and ask him about himself. How would that have been? A couple of beggars in a garbage dump talking face to face with God Almighty. Now, back to the book of Job. From a distance, a large dust cloud, slowly moving our way. Not a dust devil, a cloud moving in our direction. Eventually, we saw an entourage moving toward our garbage dump on purpose. From a long way away, I began to recognize former friends of ours riding on camels with their servants behind. I ran to them and stopped them as far away as possible. I didn't want my husband to be completely humiliated or for them to be embarrassed. They explained how they had heard about our troubles and came to see what they could do. They asked where Job was. I pointed. They could hardly recognize him. They were so shocked, so sad, that they wept, tore their robes, and sprinkled dust on their heads. Soon they looked almost like my husband. Leaving the servants at a distance, we walked to Job. Then I walked away, and they sat on the ground with him. For the next 7 days and nights, none of them said a word. Job's suffering was so intense. Once a day, servants brought a little food and water, but even then they didn't speak. Can you even begin to comprehend? Having three friends who love and treasure you that much. They traveled from a far distance, and rather than seeking rest for themselves, they did all they could to be sensitive to Job. It was a demonstration of respect and love that astounded all of us who saw it. I believe they would have sat in silence another week. But my husband broke the silence to speak. Through his cracked lips and parched throat, the words, barely recognizable. And they were not words of welcome to these precious friends. No. He cursed the day he was born. There's a modern phrase you use when you threaten or warn someone. She will wish she had never been born. Well, that phrase probably came from my husband's curse. He wished he had never been born. Never married, never had children, never known God. He wished that day had never existed, and if it did exist, that he had died at birth, that no mother had been there to nourish him. And then in his death, he would be asleep and at rest with all the formerly wealthy of the world. At death, even the wicked and slaves enjoy their rest. All are free from their earthly burdens. Job says he yearns to be dead. His life consists of moans and groans. He has no peace, no quietness, no rest. What he fears has come upon him. I couldn't bear it anymore. I break down, inside and out. My husband is a broken man, and I can take no more. And then I find my husband is not a broken man. And I can take.